produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Grace, peace, joy, faith, love, Dr. V.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Love Your Making. I am Dr. V, and this is a sage conversation, leader to leader. And I have just feeling so amazingly grateful for the opportunity to have come to you all this year. This is our very last program for the year 2020, and 2020 has been an amazing year globally. So many challenges and so many opportunities. We have had to learn of God's word while we're shut in, various ones from all around the world. And we're doing the Isaiah 26:20 thing. And listen, second time around. And in this holiday season, it seems like we're going to be sheltering in with fewer and fewer family members around the table. But we remember them, and we remember them all, and I remember you. So listen, let's pray real quick so we can get into the word, this last word of the year 2020. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, Father. We magnify your name this day. Father, your love toward us is so great. And even in the midst of a global pandemic, we still feel your love. We still know that you are in control. We still know that you're the great physician. We still know that you think of us and your thoughts of us are of peace and not evil, to give us a hope, Father, and to give us a future. You're still yet the same God who goes before us and make crooked places straight. You perfect those things that we're concerned about. You're full of mercy, Father, and you will not forsake the work of your hands in our lives. You've not forgotten us, but actually you carved us out in the palm of your hand. Oh God, what love. We thank you for that love today. And as your love speaks through Dr. V today on Love You're Making to the leaders all over this world, I just want you to know, Father God, that Because you first loved us, we're going to love you back. And this word is going to permeate and grow in the mind, heart, and spirits of all of those who hear it, oh God. And they will begin to, no matter what circumstances they're going through right now, they will begin to praise you and be grateful and thankful and love their making. Amen, amen, amen. Also want to take a moment to thank the Finding My Way Network Worldwide, Katie Padgett and all of her staff, in particular Josie and Josie's Inspiration for our network platform here. What amazing, amazing saints of God. And I love them, and we lift them up in prayer as well. Listen, our lesson today is going to come from Colossians chapter 3 and 4. And in honor of this season, particularly here in the U.S., Thanksgiving and Christmas, we end the year grateful for what God has provided and what God has done for us. And then we celebrate his son being born, Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world. Bible says in Isaiah 9 and 6, he is a wonderful counselor. He is a mighty God. He is our everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders. We remember him not just being the child that was born in a manger, but we remember him as a great king, a compassionate king who's acquainted with our grief, who suffered, who did not pass the cup, even though it was difficult for him. As he approached Calvary, it was difficult. When he prayed, his prayers were as blood dripping from his body. Angels came to buffet him. He said to the Lord, if this cup could pass, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So we thank you, oh God, for Jesus releasing his will to your will. And that is why we're able to proclaim the great gospel today all over the world. If you have your Bibles, let's go quickly, because we don't have a lot of time to get this last message in for the year. When you listen on December the 3rd, you're going to be hearing the power behind Paul's writing as he writes in the 3rd and 4th chapter. He's going to write, my subtopic is living as those made alive in Christ. And for those of you who are experiencing death and grief and what have you, I know that this may be challenging, but you know what? I often say when I'm at funerals and when I'm doing the eulogies, I'm saying this funeral is for the living and not for the dead. The dead are in the glorious, those that are died in Christ are in the glorious presence of the Lord with fullness of joy, and they wouldn't come back if they want, if you wanted them to, because they are experiencing eternity and the beauty of the presence of God 24/7, yet praising him day in and day out, bowing and throwing their crowns down as the kings did. So this is for the living. Colossians 3 and 4, Paul continues to minister to those that he had sowed in the life of Christ too. So I'm going to read it. I'm reading from the NIV version, and I'm going to scale it as the Lord gives it to me that's there. But I think it's very important as we end this year with gratitude and thanksgiving, and we approach a new year believing God for great things, believing him for life and that more abundantly, that he is going to put a responsibility on us to be co-laborers with him in the life that he has given us, that is that abundant life. How to get it and how to keep it, I would probably subtitle this message too. And then the responsibility of it. Amen. So here we go. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ, where? In God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him, where? In glory. Glory to God. Put to death, here he begins to instruct, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. What does that look like? It's sexual immorality. It's impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is all of that, and sums up, it is idolatry. Because of these, this is what happens. The wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways. That's the past. In the life you once lived. But now, come on, you must also rid yourself of all such things as these. And let me list them. Rid yourself of, take it away, like get rid of it, drop it like it's what? Hot. Do not lie to each other. Come on, tell the truth. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, come on, new girl, new man, new child, which is being renewed in knowledge. This is what's happening to your new self in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile, or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, slave or free, but Christ is what? All and is in all. Come on. Verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, say this, I'm a chosen one. I am the chosen one, and I'm holy, and I'm dearly loved. Clothe yourself then with compassion. Let me tell you how to dress up today. Clothe yourself with compassion. Clothe yourself with kindness. Clothe yourself with humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive how? As the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, let me remind you of the virtues. The virtues of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Of all these virtues, put on love, come on, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You're not completely dressed until you put on love. Don't leave your house without putting on love. Don't get out of bed without putting on love. Don't walk through the house without love. Don't walk through the church house without love. Come on, you're not fully dressed if you do that. That's Dr. V's commentary. I just love that part. So, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in whose heart? Your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. Oh my God. You know, this time of the year, we talk about peace being on earth, peace being in the world. But what about peace being in your heart? That will make a great difference. And be thankful. Come on. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach. Come on, leaders. And admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms. How you do it now? Psalms, do it with hymns, and do it with songs from the Spirit. How many of you know the Spirit can really sing, right? I know that as a personal witness. Sing it to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, come on, leaders, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, I'm going to call some people out, and I want you to raise your hand if that's you. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, I'm calling you out. Love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, I'm calling you out. Obey your parents in everything, not just to get Christmas presents in the last month, a few days before Christmas, you start doing everything you're supposed to do so you can get some more presents under the tree. You have to throw that USA side commentary in there. Children, go ahead, obey your parents. But this pleases the Lord. Fathers, come on, I'm calling you out. Do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Can I tell you how many fathers are responsible for the discouragement of their children? Verse 22, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it. Not only when they their eyes on you and to carry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, slaves, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human mastery, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. That's the last verse of the third chapter of Colossians. And I tell you, that when you get down to that last verse, then you want to go back up and read and go, listen, don't let me miss a thing. Don't let me miss nothing, because I want to be rewarded for what I have done. And I want that reward to be what? Sweet, as they would say. Let's quickly move into chapter 4, because I really want to speak to the heart of leaders today in this wise. Masters, well, you know, let me back up. Colossians 3 talks about your personal and in your home type ministry as a leader. It speaks to that very, very clearly. It talks to you how you should conversate in your home, what communication should come out of your mouth and what it should look like and what it should sound like. It talks about how you should practice compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And then he goes on to talk about how peace should rule in your heart. Then he gets specific about your particular roles inside of your home. You're sheltered in now, a lot of you. A lot of you, your closest family members are now only your husband, your wife, your children, you know, or just your husband and your wife, or your husband and your wife and your servants. And so that there is a way that God wants you to behave so that he might be glorified in those relationships. Let me tell you, the poorest leaders are those who do not lead well at home, who do not care for their own family members with compassion and humility and speak kindly and be patient with them. Because guess what? Wherever you go, there you are. When you come outside of your house and go into a corporate a leadership role in the church or in your businesses, in the community, however you acted at home, guess what? You're going to eventually show up publicly. That's just the truth. And so he calls everybody out. He calls the wives, he calls the husbands, he calls the children, he calls the father, he calls those that are serving in the home. So, but in chapter 4, he goes specifically to those who are responsible in the gospel. And I want to speak to you leaders today who have corporate ministry, who are apostles and pastors and evangelists and teachers and preachers and what have you. Listen, Paul says, masters, provide slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. All right? So in verse 2 says, devote yourselves, how? To prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too. Listen, this is why he wants you to specifically pray, that God may open a door for our message, that we may be able to proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, which I'm in bondage to, which I can't even be free of this, really don't want to be free of this, that's there. We have a responsibility, leaders, that pray that other ministers besides ourselves help open doors for with the message of Christ, and that freely, amen? So we pray for others, not just expect others to pray for us. Then verse 4 says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly. Listen, don't look at and judge other ministers and say, oh, that's a poor preaching right there, or that's a poor preachment right there, or somebody teach them how to put a sermon together. No, you pray that their preaching and their teaching be clear and understandable, and that it be a big, huge net to catch a whole lot of fish, amen, on the right side. So verse 5, be wise in the way you act toward your outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Come on. Let your conversation be always full of grace. Come. This is a pet peeve for me. Let me stop right here and tell you why. When your conversation is hell, fire, and brimstone, and you have no grace in it, you are legalized the word to the degree that Christ, his coming and his effectual living and dying is worthless, because you have put people in a grave before they even have the opportunity to hear the gospel news. Amen. Let it be seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. If someone comes to you and say, well, listen, I've been serving Muhammad. I've been serving Hare Krishna. I've been serving Sun Moon. I've been serving Jehovah. I'm a Jehovah Witness. What can you say about me? You should be able to to not rail on them and criticize where they are, but you should say, listen, let me bring you on a journey to a place that is full of joy and happiness and freedom, that will strengthen you every day, that will have you to sit at the table of your enemy, and God will make your enemy see you be anointed and your cup will run over. Yes, yes, yes. Let me take you on a journey so you can meet that man. He'll meet you at a well and you'll be thirsty. He'll give you living water. He will meet you at night, at midnight, and you'll ask, how shall you be born again, seeing as how you cannot go back into your mother's womb? But he will teach you about a spiritual birth. Hallelujah. Take them on that journey. Let that kind of seasoning, let that kind of answer be a, not a condemning answer, but a, let me introduce you to life and that more abundantly. Let me introduce you to a way to eternity. Let me introduce you to someone that when you in his presence, there will be fullness of joy. And so finally, he says in his final greetings, he calls out some names of some people. And he said, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, I'm terrible with names, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. Listen, I love that. This morning when I was reviewing that, I'm going like, you know, he's inviting them to get to know from firsthand witnesses how the ministry is going, what's happening. He invites those that witness the ministry to spread how the ministry is being conducted to the glory of God. He said, even Paul talks about one time, I've learned how to be abound and to be abased. Even in ministry, when he was ministering out of his want and need, he still ministered with integrity to the place that he didn't mind people going telling. You know, Paul may have been hungry, but he kept preaching. Paul may have been without shoes, but he kept preaching. Paul may have sold his last tent, but he kept preaching. You know, he kept teaching the good news. And so he may have been cold, but he kept teaching, you know. And so that he invites them to hear from firsthand witnesses of the ministry, how things are going. And I love that. Leaders, you should walk in such integrity, with such an intent, with the spirit of love, such increase, the spirit of intensity, and such integrity, the spirit of truth, that you can tell people, you can send people with a message and tell them everything. Tell them everything that we're doing. I have nothing to hide. I'm being very transparent with my ministry. I'm doing the best that I can. I'm, like Jesus said, listen, I only say what I hear the Father say, and I only do what I see the Father do. And so he had no problems with sitting and saying, let somebody else speak for me. What's happening? He says, my fellow prisoner, Archestarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. This is what he did. He is always, listen to this, he is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of the Lord God, mature and fully assured. Isn't it wonderful for you to hear that somebody is praying for you, that you stand firm in the will of the Lord and fully assured? I would welcome those kind of prayers in my life. Listen, pray for me for real, for real, for real. Pray for Dr. V. And then he goes on to say in verse 13, I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. That part, I like that part. Listen, women were holding up for the gospel and making room for the gospel to be shared in their homes. Verse 16, and this letter has been read to you. See that it is also read in the church of Laodicea, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. And then tell Archippus, see to it. Listen, I love this. See to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. Listen, I would love someone to call and encourage me. Dr. Reese, see to it that you complete what God had called you to. See to it. Make it happen. Make it so. What you need? I'm here to help you get your mission accomplished. And then Paul says, as he closes his letter, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains? Grace be with you. I love this. Paul was a letter writer for sure. I want to encourage you, this leaders, as you close this year out, November, December, as you close this year out, that you close out strong, that you affirm your faith in the Lord. If you're a new believer, if you're a seasoned believer, that you're still ministering full of grace and wisdom, and that your messages are clear and seasoned with salt, and that you greet everyone and be careful how you greet them, because that is an opportunity for you to share Christ. Not condemn them where they are, but take them on a journey to where they can be and with fullness of joy. I want to encourage you, leader to leader. This is my sagesse today. Listen, finish strong. Pray, and then have others to pray for you. Have others to speak of your ministry and how it's faring. Don't be coy and shy about asking for support. Build teams. You can see Paul had team members here that he was encouraging and sending out and to strengthen the work. I know it's been a challenging year. You've had opportunities to give up. You've been have opportunities physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially to be discouraged. I know that. But there's also been opportunities to be encouraged, to be empowered, to be taught, to gain more wisdom, to be more filled with grace and love and compassion and kindness and gentleness and humility. There have been opportunities for you to let go of the rage and the anger and the malice and the cruel words that are coming out of your life. There's been opportunities for you not to be tempted to live the old life, but to rather the opportunity to embrace your new life in Christ and to strengthen that life in Christ. I want to encourage you today. This has been my prayer for you, even now, that you know Christ and know Him all the more, that Christ rather be really glorified in your body, in your mind, and in your spirit, that you walk in the fullness of who He is, and that you live and move and you have your being in Him. This is my prayer for you, saints of God. Listen, happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, whatever holidays you celebrate this time of year, do it as much as you can with family. If you can't, reach out to them physically, reach out to them with your words, with a phone call, with a text message, with a Zoom message, however you can communicate, the technology presents itself, but do reach out. Let the last thing that they hear you say is, I love you and I love you in the Lord. And this is Dr. V with Love Your Making saying, I love you and I love you in the Lord.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, hello, everyone. Thank you for getting on the radio this morning, evening, afternoon, depending on the side of the world you are on. This is Benita Durif in radio show Create Your Own You. And as you guys already know, I named the radio show because I want everyone to become the person that they are supposed to be. A lot of us live in shadows, and what I mean by that is that we live in shadows because we tend to do what others think we're supposed to. You know, they think we're supposed to do. You know, a lot of times, you know, growing up, if you have a family of doctors, they just automatically assume you're going to go to school and you're going to become a doctor or you're going to become a lawyer. And a lot of times that just don't work. You know, you have to seek your own independence to see exactly what is happy, what makes you happy in life. And a lot of people, you know, they have a fear to a fear and they don't know exactly what they should be doing or what areas they are supposed to be looking for. And we're going to talk about some things tonight. I have a wonderful guest on the line tonight by the name of Miss Jackie Hurd. Hello, Jackie.
Hello, Anita. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm good. How's your day going so far?
It's wonderful. Georgia's a beautiful day here in Georgia.
All righty. Now, you know, if you don't know who she is, her name is Jackie Hurd, and she has a business page called Jackie Hurd Speaks. So you can contact her, reach out on her page to see what she's talking about on Jackie Hurd Speaks. She is a certified coach, an author, and an entrepreneur. So she has a lot of accolades behind her, and she's been in the health industry for over the past 30-plus years. So we're going to talk to her in regards to her becoming an entrepreneur and writing a book that she wrote called Employed to Empower, the 7 Keys to Break Through the Employee Mindset to Be Your Own Boss. And, you know, it takes a lot for us to be our own boss. A lot of people really don't even understand what it is to be your own boss or what it takes to be your own boss. So a lot of people tend not to even go down that road. They just want to continue to work their job because it's comfortable. And it's comfortable to the point that they know every week or every 2 weeks or once a month that they're going to get paid by their employer. And that's a check that's coming in every week, and they don't have any worries. And sometimes you should worry about that for the simple fact that a lot of companies right now are shutting their doors just because of artificial intelligence. And they say in about 10 years or so that 70% of jobs will be lost due to artificial intelligence, which is, you know, the acronym is AI. I know you guys probably seen that commercial on TV with Common talking about AI or an artificial intelligence. That's is really real. That's something that's going to happen. And if you're not paying attention and if you're not following, you're going to be left behind in trying to figure out how to create an income for yourself. So, Jackie, in saying that, what was it that made you want to transition into being an entrepreneur?
Well, for me, there's a few things that came into play. You know, I've been in my profession for over 30 years, and I pretty much did max out at the income level. And the second thing that what you mentioned about the technology, I'm going to say right about 2010 is when I realized, because I work in surgery, right about 2010 is when I became aware of robotics being used in surgery. So that was a red flag immediately because the only job skill that I have is as a surgery assistant, a surgical technician. So I'm thinking now, if there's a possibility of a robot replacing me and the only skill that I have, what in the world am I left to do? So it was just a combination of things and people that I've been exposed to over the years for me to really start paying attention what was being said in the media. Is Social Security still going to be there? And for my generation, there's a big question mark. And I'm just not, I don't want to sit around and wait to find out.
Right. So, and that's something how you said, you know, in the surgery field that, you know, it's robots that's now doing some of these surgeries. And that's kind of scary. You know, you got a robot performing duties that an actual human used to do. But, I mean, of course the doctor is there, but he's using robotic instruments to do that surgery. And it might get to a point where they create these robots to where they might not even need the doctor. They're going to punch it in the system. Oh, person needs a stent put in an artery, and punch it all into the computer, and that robot is going to know exactly what to do, you know?
Exactly right.
It's really scary to know that, you know, they have robots nowadays just actually doing surgery on people. And thus, you know, that, like I said, like you said, your job may be one of the ones that get lost, because that robot may be programmed to know all the instruments to use, to know, you know, which one to use that the doctor is asking for. So we have to really pay attention to actually our, you know, what's going on out in the world and what's new. We can't stay in this shell and be like, okay, I'm just going to let the world pass me by. I'm not going to keep up with anything. I'm just going to live my life to the best I can. And, you know, when people say that, you live your life to the best that they can, they're really not, because they're just doing the same thing every day, every day, every day, not even thinking about doing anything different to make their life more exciting. And that's how I was. I don't know about you, Jackie, but that's how I was a couple of years ago, where, you know, I was like, you know, there got to be so much, got to be something better to do, because you really do get stuck in that working environment, and then you get around coworkers, and, you know, I think being around coworkers, you get more depressed, if you agree with me, because you hear your coworkers all they say, oh, I can't stay in my job. Oh, I don't want to be here. Oh, is it 4 o'clock yet? Oh, when is Friday coming? You know, you hear all of this stuff from your coworkers, and you always think to yourself, at least I used to think to myself when I hear coworkers say that, I used to be like, well, why don't you find another job? You know?
Yes, exactly. You get comfortable complaining, knowing you're not going nowhere.
Right, exactly. Comfortable. I like that. Comfortable complaining. I like that.
Yes, it's true. It's so true. To once you really see the difference, once you step into, start putting yourself in a position of your own business, but then you're still at work. Oh, so you can start to see the bad habits. I hate to call it bad habits, but yeah, as employees, we have bad habits that we got to break if we're gonna step out.
Right, exactly. And I'm gonna ask you, being that you stepped on that bad habit thing, what are some of the bad habits you think that needs to be break in order to be an entrepreneur?
Number one, you have self discipline. You have to make decisions for yourself and your personal situation. You know, we go into work and we have company guidelines. You're given a whole packet of how you're supposed to perform. And then you just you look at, okay, well, this is what I need to do. You have a checklist. Okay, I met the checklist. Can I get a raise now? You know, and it's
right.
Like, wow. So you become expecting every year you should get a raise because you hit the minimum requirements. What do you don't get no raise for minimum when you're an entrepreneur world. Oh, no. You got to overproduce, and you might get something. But, it's rewarding. All I can say, it is rewarding. That's my biggest message to people. The money will come,
right,
but you got to enjoy the process.
That's definitely true. The money will come, but it is going to be a process, and people need to understand that it's going to be a process. You're not going to be a successful six-figure, seven-figure earner in, you know, 3 to 4 or 5, 6 months. It's sometimes it may even take you probably 5 years to get to that point. And I think the misconception is that I know me and you talked about this a lot, how people are on Facebook and they're showing the shiny side of it, but they're not showing exactly what they had to do to go through it. And, you know, both of us are in the network marketing industry, and we both see how, you know, one leader can go to another company and then they hit the top of the ranks because, you know, they pretty much took their old people with them to go to the new people. And, they, you know, we see a lot of that, but people still don't understand what it took. It probably took somebody 10 years to do that. 10 years, if not, you know, you never know. And it took somebody 5 years. But they're able to do that because they already had a following with them from the beginning.
True. Very true. Right.
You know? So that's one of the things I know you like to touch. You like to talk about that because you like to talk about the network market industry the pros and cons. So being that we're talking about the network market industry, because we're going to get into your book in a few minutes, but being that we're talking about the network market industry, give me some of your take on it and what you think about it, the pros and the cons.
Well, I have a lot more pros than cons, but for me, I'm not sure if many people hear the phrase, network marketing is a personal development program with compensation plan attached to it. So if you spend, like I've done, I spend more time investing in becoming a better Jackie Hurd than anything else. So that's the number one takeaway. You were reading, you're going to business leadership conferences, you're doing what does a leader do? That's number one. That's what network marketing is. It's about leadership. Now, the income potential, I don't know too many things out there, too many industries or programs that will reward you financially in, you know, outside of network marketing. It's huge. So that's a big attraction to me. Now, with that being said, of course, now the downside is because not everybody is going to really pay the price to develop themselves. So when you see top leaders crossing the stage with huge checks, they have spent a lot of time developing themselves. And who knows, some people it's 2 years, 5, 10, 15 years, whatever it may be. But when you're new coming in and that's the first thing you see, you think that can happen overnight. Because that's what I thought too. I had been in the industry since I started in 1998, and I couldn't figure out how in the world did somebody just come in. And I've been with the company for 2 years, and I didn't come close to their check. Didn't know behind the scenes that these people they put in some serious time. I was afraid to talk to people. I was afraid to go out of my comfort zone. You can't build wealth staying in your house. So. I'll just end with that. But yeah, you have to be willing to grow into the person that is going to bring in a six-figure a month check.
Right. I like how you broke that down. Network marketing is a personal development system that comes with a compensation plan. I don't think I've ever heard that before, said that way, but I love it. That is actually a great way to explain network marketing. It is personal development, and you need to stay up on your personal development in order, one, to become more confident and also to change your mindset in those particular industries. And you know, so we're going to get into the book that you wrote. This book that she wrote, Jackie wrote, is awesome. Everybody need to get a copy of it. It's called Employed to Empower, The 7 Keys to Breaking Through the Employee Mindset to Be Your Own Boss. Now, what made you want to write the book?
Well, it goes to the exposure and the people that I'm around. I was introduced to a business mentor a couple years ago, and she had a program to teach people how can you take your personal life experiences and put it into a book to help others and you know, actually turn it into a business. So I pretty much just followed a plan because there are people out there. Sometimes they're not as famous. They're not on TV. There's a lot of successful people out here where you have access to them, and they'll teach you what they know, and then it could benefit you. So that's what I went through a program and learning how to do that.
Okay. How was the process writing the book? Did you find it difficult? Did you find it hard? You know, because I know some people that's listening, they always say, I'm going to write a book, and they never write the book because of whatever reason. And, you know, me and you both went through the same individual that helped us write our books. And, you know, I found the process to actually be much easier than what I thought. And looking, although mine was a collaboration book, Employee to Entrepreneurship, and Jackie was a personal book. She did hers on her own. So what do you think about, you know, if somebody is interested in writing a book about something, what would you tell them to do?
Well, yeah, okay, so for me, again, I like to follow. I pay for mentorship. I pay for people to make me better. So number one, be willing to invest in yourself because your book is your story, and it's going to take a certain amount of your time and financial investment. So that's the number one that you, again, have to be willing to accept. And the program, it was just a simple template. It was very easy. Again, sometimes people, we go into things thinking it's very difficult because it's new. This is my first time writing a book. I didn't plan on it. I actually just, again, connected with an individual who was teaching others to do it. So it came about over a two-year process. I had no idea that I was going to be writing a book. So I guess I kind of shocked myself, right?
Exactly.
but with access to social media, there are so many individuals out here who have the skills to help other people develop almost in any area that they want to. If you want to be a writer, if you want to be a speaker, all types of stuff in entrepreneurship, it's out there.
Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with that too, because when I decided to do the collaboration book, it was weird because I seen the live on Facebook and I was like, that's interesting. A collaboration book where I don't have to write the entire book, but I have people that's in the book that, you know, have their own chapter. And I thought that was a better fit for me because I wasn't ready to do a full book yet. So that got my feet in the water, got my toes dipped in the water. So I thought that was great for me to do it that way. And I commend you for, you know, writing your own complete book, because I know that was, you know, your book is very detailed in regards to having that mindset to becoming an entrepreneur. No, and, you know, in chapter four, you know, I love this section, of course, you know, in chapter four, you know, getting out your comfort zone. But I love the point you say church attendance. Explain, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think when I decided to talk about that, what I wanted to do was, because the phrase get out of your comfort zone, it didn't really have a lot of meaning to it because it doesn't make sense to me. So I just thought about what about an average person, okay, they have their job, they go to church. They go to a church that they've liked, probably been there their entire life. So everybody knows you, right? You have friends, you have family, the whole routine. A Sunday routine is just a given. It becomes automatic. What happens if you change that automatic process?
Right.
We like to sit with our friends. Some people claim a seat. I mean, it gets kind of serious, you know.
But I know. Some churches you go to, you can't sit in Sister Barbara's chair.
No.
She coming, whether she late or not. You know not to sit there.
It's hilarious. So what if you decided to sit on the other side, sit a couple rows behind next to a church member who you never even talked to, right? You've been in this church for 10 years, and there's some people you never even had a conversation with. Well, why don't we start there? Does your church family, you comfortable there? Well, but get out of that comfort zone within the comfort zone of the church, but go meet some other people. Go join a different committee. Don't stay on the usher board for 20 years. Go serve somewhere else. So,
right. So, you know, there's a lot of committees on a church that there is to be on. So, and I totally get that. You know, you want to usher, but I know when I was growing up and going to church, you seen the same old ladies on the usher board, and that's all they did the whole entire time they were a part of the church. And I was like, wow, especially like first Sundays, you know which ushers was going to be on first Sunday, and you know which ushers was going to be the following Sunday. So the kids, you know, they alternated, so you know who was going to be at the usher board that day.
Exactly.
I find, yeah, a lot of, like, now that's a good point. You know, even though you're comfortable in your church, get uncomfortable, because even though, you know, you, like you said, you've been there for so long, definitely move around. And some people that have been at churches, they've been going to for 10 years and never talked to the pastor or preacher, never had a conversation, just sitting there saying, see, come in, and they comfortable and they leave. I'm like, wow, okay. They like, you say what you got to say, I'm out the door.
Exactly. See, you just,
I don't need to talk to them.
So,
it's funny. It's really funny. So let's talk about focus and getting the avoid distraction. And I know you did like a 30-day distraction-free zone, I want to call it. What do those 30 days entail?
Well, for me, first thing I did was, I'm a sports nut. My life revolved around the game on Sunday, Saturday college, Sunday is the pros. I had to turn off the TV. I had to completely shut it out, and I like to call it, it's a blackout period. because what I was just noticing that, I became interested in the mind. You know, the mind gets used to a routine, and as soon as it sees something different, it's going to be like a red flag. So it was, for me to turn off that television, it was a difficult process. I missed so many of my favorite moments. I would have to wait to hear about it the next day. But what I did was, in order to retrain my mind, all I did was read, listen to business podcasts. A lot of successful, whether it's a podcast or just reading books, just redirect my thoughts into that. And then it became like a hunger for that information. So because, I think they say the human mind is capable of so many things that it's unbelievable. So I just started thinking, started testing that out. I said, okay, well, what else can I learn? What else will my mind help me pick up? And that was the process right there. And it probably a lot of people can relate to that. Turn off the TV. Turn off that, what do we call it, an idiot. Some people call it an idiot box. The negative news. get rid of the CNN. It's constant negative news. Shut all that off and watch what happens when the magic within yourself. It'll start developing.
Right. And I totally am with you with the mindset aspect to it, too. Because, yesterday I came home and I was home yesterday and I came home and I was like, I'm not going to turn the TV on. I didn't turn the TV on. I came directly in my office and I was amazed at how much work I got done in about 5 hours. I had so much work done. I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe, just turning off the TV. Now, I've done it several times before, but a lot of time I'm the type of person, I'm a sensory person, so sometimes I have to hear sound in the background no matter what I'm doing. And so I had usually, even if I'm in my office and my TV is in my bedroom, I'll still have the TV on, but it's still kind of a distraction because I can hear what's going on. So I didn't even turn the TV on. I just walked in the house and I just, came basically straight to the office and started working. I had a few courses to get out the way, and I finished like 3 of the courses last night. So I was so excited last night that I'm done with these courses that I've been prolonging or procrastinating with because, I get distracted very easily. So that's something a lot of people have is that distraction. They get distracted with the kids, the husband, cell phones, radios, everything like that. When you're trying to become an entrepreneur, you just have to shut everything out. Just cut it off, shut it out, tell people, hey, I can't be disturbed between 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. because I'm working on my business or whatever. But you have to make those boundaries and guidelines so that people know it also not to bother you around those signs too. Because I know my mother, I'm surprised she hasn't called yet. I'm probably going to jinx myself. But she calls every time I get on the phone trying to do something. Every time. It never fails. So let's talk about the mindset real quick. We got a few more minutes, and I know this is your area, is the mindset. What do you want people to know about mindset?
Well, just to imagine that it's possible. I believe there was a quote. I might be Jim Rome, and I'm not sure if you can correct me, Vanita. But the quote goes: "Anything the mind of man can conceive and achieve, or I'm sorry, let me correct that. Anything the mind of man can conceive, it can achieve." So, I think what people have to think about when it's mindset is about what is your environment? What do you see every day? The mind is like a sponge, and actually I'm going to do a video on that on my page. If you just imagine your brain is like a sponge, and wherever you put it, it's going to soak up that environment. So just change the environment and watch what happens. Some people feel like they are stuck and they absolutely cannot get out of a situation or make their lives better, but it's just not true. You might have to leave a lot of people behind, and that's the painful part of this process. You might have to leave some loved ones and some dear friends behind, but you can make it. Each individual person can choose where do they want to go. Maybe you have to move out of the state. I mean, I live in Georgia now. I used to live in California, but, there's nothing wrong with my California relationship, but just in general, the change in environment from Los Angeles to living in the South, obviously everything I see is different, right? So,
right.
So mm-hmm. that helped me change my life. It's very different here. So that's all it is. Just again, if you one thing you can take away, your mind is a sponge. Where do you want to put your sponge down? Do you want to put it in dirty water, or do you want to put it in clean water? So if you just have that visual, then you can start with that.
Right. I totally agree with that. Totally agree with it. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. What's your handles?
My handle, well, it's Jackie Hurd Speaks on Facebook. I just launched my page this week. And then, again, on Instagram, I will be keeping all updates coming through there because, again, I'm just now finding my voice. And that'll be something that every person needs to do. What is your voice? What are you going to give back to society? So I chose Jackie Hurd Speaks, and it can be find me right there.
Okay. I want to thank Jackie for getting on here tonight or this evening or morning, wherever you are in the world. So I want to thank her for getting on and giving us some of those nuggets that she dropped on us. I hope some people took some notes. But, hopefully you can reach out to her if you have any questions. Again, she's Jackie Hurd Speaks on Facebook. I want to thank everybody for tuning in this evening. Again, create your own you. That's the best thing you could do for yourself is just be the best person you can be and go to the moon and back and just be you. Again, have a great morning, evening, or afternoon, depending on where you are in this world. Have a blessed day. Peace and greetings. Thanks.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.